Big Apple press conference tomorrow. Let the rumor mongering begin. Plus Microsoft Office 2008. Yep, delayed again.
My Mac Podcast 139.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
My name is Tim Robertson. I am the publisher of MyMac.com, and tomorrow is a big day. Apple's going to have a press conference. Chad Perry sitting next to me is looking forward to finding out what's coming out.
Yep.
Yeah. What about you, Guy? You looking forward to it?
I'm really looking forward to it. I just wish I could afford pretty much whatever the hell it was going to be.
And that's poor-ass Guy Searle in Virginia on the other line on Skype. He's broke.
Yeah, I think the prom theme for tomorrow's Apple celebration is "This Will Be the Night."
This will be the night.
This will be the night. The night to remember.
The theme of the show is "Don't quit your day job."
Sorry, just had that '80s flashback.
I tell you, so many. I have a lot of those. So probably, though, this week, next week we'll talk about whatever it is Apple is announcing tomorrow, and we can't really, you know, we'll speculate a little later in the show on what that's going to be. But probably the big news this week is Microsoft, the Mac business unit, comes out and says, oh, by the way, Office is coming out next year.
Yeah, we'll release 2008. In 2008.
Right. And they're talking about a Macworld Expo release. So that's literally the beginning of next year.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, that would really, I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. Just leave me alone.
Leave me alone. I don't know.
Well, maybe it gets
him
a little space on the DS next to Steve Jobs.
My name is.
How long does it take for Microsoft to do this? This is getting a little ridiculous. David Cohen has a post up on the blog side, says Microsoft delays Office 2008 for Macintosh again.
And if you are an Affenestrations fan, you already know David's opinions on this. But he reiterates them in his blog post, and it's probably worthy to go through them one more time. So,
I think it's a little disingenuous for Microsoft not to come out and say what the real problem is. Mm-hmm. And I personally believe that David Cohen hit it right on the head when he said that Microsoft's Mac business unit is probably understaffed.
Yep.
You're going to unplug the thing here. Swish back.
Oh, I'll do that.
The dog is excited to see me today. So, let's be honest. Is anybody here clamoring for a new version of Office? I'm not really.
I'm not, and frankly,
really well for me.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean.
Go ahead, Guy.
I was just gonna say, 2004 is still working pretty well for me. I'm not having any problems with it.
Yeah, and even running under Rosetta, I don't have that many problems with it either. It has a little bit of a lag, but I can live with it.
Yeah, but still, Office 2004, and the next version is going to be Office 2008.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That means that Office for the Mac is only a year less in development than Vista, right?
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably closer to the actual date, because I think 2004 came out in 2003.
I think you're right, but mm-hmm. I could be mistaken. I was going to say that, but I wasn't quite sure exactly the date that Office 2004 for the Macintosh.
That's okay. I'll take that bullet.
I think that's ridiculous. It really is. But let's be honest, how many new features can they pile into Microsoft Office to entice Mac users to drop another $400 for the software?
Well, I doubt that the ribbon menu system is going to do it. I think the only thing that they...
Well, that's not coming to the Macintosh, Guy.
Oh, it's not. Well...
no, it's
well,
not.
Well, and frankly, I am very happy with the palette, and I wish I had the palette on my PC at work.
Are you running 2007 at work?
No.
Well, then you're not using
the ribbon. We're on 2003, so I haven't even seen the ribbon.
It's interesting, and it's context sensitive in that when you select one thing, the next ribbon shows what the options for what you just selected are. And that's mm-hmm. fine and dandy, but for power users that's been using it for a long time, it's a completely different way of left training your brain to use an application that, and let's be honest, if the biggest thing that it has, that the biggest new features mm-hmm. in the Office is a new open, a quote open standard, which is about as open as a
As IE.
As IE, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not open.
Right.
And a new interface. Is that really a $400? Really? That's what I'm getting? Mm-hmm. Eye candy and a faux open standard? I don't think so. Because if it was such an open standard, then how come I need beta translators for Office 2004 to open Office 2007 documents?
Right.
I'm sorry, am I the artard here, or am I missing something?
You know, I think it's horrible that they can't, you know, because all the other versions have had cross-compatibility and backwards compatibility for the most part. Yeah, you can lose a little features saving down from, say, Office 2003 or 2004 down to Office 97.
Right.
But
it was still a DOC file. It was still a XLS file. It was still a, you know, PowerPoint. And honestly, was there
And now they go to
really
an open standard and it breaks it?
Was there really a need for them to use XML for all their documents?
If it was true XML, I would be happy with that. But it's a proprietary bullshit again.
Mm-hmm.
They may say, no, no, it's completely open. Really? It's completely open? How come I can open an XML document created in Adobe Go Live or Dreamweaver? Mm-hmm. I can open that in Microsoft Office, but I can't open the same XML file created in Office for the Windows 2007 in the same program?
Well, and I think what kills me is good, getting back to where Guy was going with this. You know, DOC, XLS, PPT, they're pretty much industry standards
right.
now. I mean, absolutely. Microsoft has defined the standard. Why do you need to go to the open source?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with criticism from both the Justice Department over the years and being a monopoly, and a general, what's the word I'm looking for? The open source movement, if you will, that people want more openness. The same thing could be said with Apple going through DRM-less music on the iTunes Music Store.
Yeah.
People want to be able to take their documents, no matter where they're created, or take their MP3s, no matter what program or where they bought it from, and use it on other devices or in other programs.
Well, do you think that moving to XML has more to do with going to open standards, or do you think it's mostly just to screw over some of their competition that have, you know, other office suites?
I think it's lip service more than anything else. It's more PR than anything else that Microsoft can point and say, see, we're using open standards now. We're being a good community player when, in fact, they're really not, and nothing has really changed, and that their quote-unquote open standards is anything but.
Well, that's just
they're not using the open standard.
If somebody's using NeoOffice or OpenOffice or something along those lines, and they receive a document that's been created in Word 2007 with Microsoft's, you know, XML format, they won't be able to do anything with the document. So
I don't know if they'll be able to open it or not, but I also don't know if do you lose all the formatting?
So I
think in a way, Guy, what you're probably getting at is Microsoft using the power of Office and a faux open standard to literally control the open standard themselves, so that they become the open standard
that everybody else has to comply to.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's exactly what they're doing.
For that, Tim, thank you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't know if you would have steered me in the right direction there, Guy. That's an assist to Guy.
Yeah. And 2 points.
Tim just gets all the credit. Yeah, you're Scottie Pippen, I'm Jordan there.
Oh, contract.
You know, younger listeners are like,
ooh.
What?
Who's that?
What's a Pippen? No, we're not talking about the thing Apple made.
And sold only in Japan.
It's also not a car made by Toyota.
macOS 10 had a update.
Security
update. I guess it was the Finder was getting jealous of the iPhone guy.
Yeah, that's what I put under the category.
Yeah, see, he's taking that one back. He's like, no, you don't get that point, Tim.
No,
I wrote
that
joke.
That's mine.
Pull it back. I guess they also had some pro application updates. I haven't run any of the updates yet, so I probably need too soon.
Well, I installed the security update last night on my laptop, but
did it work?
Now
you were talking about your Speaking of laptops, you were talking about that just a little while ago before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
That you didn't think you were getting SMS fan control to work. Is that the SMS?
SMC fan.
SMC.
Yeah.
Because You want to go into that a little bit?
Well, actually, I have installed it.
Right. And it's working.
And it's working.
Right. You kept clicking the dock thinking an application's going to open, not realizing that it just puts it in the menu bar. And
I hadn't because you know, the first time I saw this was when it was on your laptop. And the original would actually...
It was an application.
It was an application. Right. It launched straight out. And
I still use that version. I know there's a new version. Put it in my menu bar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always hesitant to put anything else up in the menu bar because that's directly affecting the GUI.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want to do that. That's when problems start, start getting...
I'm kind of surprised they didn't do that as like just a system preference.
Yeah, so am I. So do you want to explain why you installed this? Because there's going to be listeners now that wasn't listening to me a year ago when I was first talking about this application.
Well, if you've worked with a MacBook or MacBook Pro, you know how hot they can get.
Extremely hot.
And I've been doing a lot more work on my laptop downstairs while my wife's watching TV.
And needless to say, Chad no longer has to worry about going to get a bikini wax.
That's right, because, all those hairs on my thighs have been singed off by the MacBook. So I finally got tired of basically getting singed and kept asking myself, why doesn't the fan kick on? I know it has one. I've heard it once in a great while, but for the most part, it never turns on to cool the thing down. So,
which is kind of nice if you want to fry an egg real quick and you're hungry. But
or you feel like your toast on the inside. Rectangular tan patch somewhere on your...
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, if it's a cold day, you can always put your coffee on top of that and it doesn't get cold.
That's right. That's right.
Is that realistically the application?
Yes, it is. I like the program. I think it's
free.
Yeah.
It's donationware.
And it literally made my MacBook Pro useful to me. Because up until the point where I installed it, I could only use my MacBook Pro for maybe 15, 20 minutes at the very most on my physical lamp before I had to turn it off and not use it for an hour so it would cool down.
Mm-hmm.
Once I installed that program, it still gets warm sometimes, don't get me wrong. And sometimes those fans, they're chugging in there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it cured that problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you install it? Today?
Yeah.
So you're going to see how it works?
I am going to see how it works for me.
We'll give us a report next week. Let us know if... there's a lot of other MacBook users out there, and might be something that they should look at, too. My aunt, the aunt that I've talked to you guys about in the past, that is a Mac user that I kind of support, she all of a sudden wants to get a laptop. And she doesn't have a lot of money, she says. And she doesn't want to spend a lot of money, I should say. So she was seriously considering getting some $599 laptop at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her straight up, I said, look, if you want to save some money and you want to go with the, I don't even know what brand it was, Walmart branded laptop, be my guest, but do not expect to call me with any questions about that laptop. Because, quite frankly, I'm not supporting friends or relatives who want computer help if it's a PC. Life's too short.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't want to take my advice and they want to get a PC rather than a Mac, that's fine, but you're on your own.
Call the Geek Squad.
Call the Geek Squad and see how much help they're going to give you. But don't expect me to help you over the phone, to come over to give you a hand. It's not going to happen, plain and simple. I'm not supporting anybody with a PC anymore, unless it's at a job site or something.
Right.
It's different.
Yeah, but they're paying you for that.
Yeah. Right, but, friends and family, I'm just not going to do it. And I feel kind of like an ass when I tell them that, but you know what? There's got to be a point where you say, look, you didn't want to listen to me. Now you're having these problems. Mm-hmm. Don't come crying to me. Sorry. Mm-hmm. If you got a Mac and you're having problems, I'll be happy to come over and help you. And I'll teach you how to use it, so you don't have to call me very often.
Mm-hmm.
And she's getting pretty proficient with the Mac now, but she doesn't call me all the time. But there's a reason for that, and that's because I was teaching her how to use it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine a lot of the people listening to this show go through the same thing. You know, they actually teach you how to use a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, we as Mac users, I don't mind showing other Mac users how to do stuff on their computer. I can't stand showing people how to do stuff on the PC. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so clunky. It's so security flawed. I mean, I'm just not doing it anymore. It's just, I've had it. Well, what's the next story?
If she
story?
Wants to spend a little bit more, I'm on the Apple site right now, and they have a refurbed white MacBook for $949. 2 gigahertz that's, Intel that's, Core 2 Duo.
Well, the other thing is she doesn't have a wireless router, so I said, where are you going to need that? And if you do get a MacBook or even a PC, you got to make sure it has a wireless card. I said, now all the new ones most likely will have a wireless card built in.
Yes.
But you got to make sure that you get one because you don't want to have to spend yet another $100 for a wireless card.
I don't think there's a Mac made that doesn't come with a wireless card.
You know, the thing is...
I think even the minis.
I think the minis come with a wireless card now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't think the Mac Pros or the iMacs come with a wireless card, though. I mean, you can get one with it, but I don't think by default standard, they're included. Yeah.
Well, give me a second and I'll tell you.
Well, the MacBook or the Mac Pro is all custom built anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's interesting because she fell back on the argument that she used against me when I was initially trying to get her to get a Mac rather than a PC, and that is she wants to play some of the games. And she's 60-something years old, and gaming is, you know, she's never owned a Nintendo, and then all of a sudden now gaming is an issue with her laptop. And I told her, you know, she tried to use it while I want to play games on it. Mm-hmm. And if I get a Mac, I can't do that. And I went, all you have to do is buy a copy of Windows, and you can install it on your Mac.
Yeah.
What? I said, yeah, remember me telling you about that? Oh, yeah. So that argument shot. Of course, that's going to cost more money.
Right.
Because the cheapest Apple laptop is not as cheap as the cheapest PC laptop.
Mm-hmm.
For a reason.
Yep.
And we're not going to get into other reasons here because everybody listening to this show knows the reasons. Yep. And would just be preaching to the choir.
The Mac Pro does not come with a wireless card.
The which doesn't? The Mac Pro? No, I didn't think it did. Well, you can order one with it, though. Yes, you can order it,
and it's cheap. It's $50.
What about the iMac? Does that come with...
Yes.
And all this may be academic tomorrow, because Apple said in their invitation to the press, which we didn't get, big surprise, is it has nothing to do with iPhones or iPods.
What does that leave?
The Pippin. So...
Upgrade to
What's the great iProducts line.
You've got something on here, Guy, class action lawsuit?
Yeah, there's a guy out in California that has filed a class action lawsuit.
Not John Dvorak, is it?
No, I don't think so. He seems to be pretty happy with Apple these days.
He's
suing Apple because apparently he bought an iPhone and wasn't smart enough to actually look at it and discovered that it had a sealed battery.
Oh, my God.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
The talking point I have here is that, you know, are there some people that are too stupid to use technology?
Yes. That's the short answer.
Right.
There are some people too stupid that they should not use technology. Of course, there's some people that I've met that's too stupid to really use a rock and a stick, too, so...
Yeah.
A sealed battery... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, idiot. What else we got?
Well, good luck with that lawsuit.
Universal recording artist Eminem is suing Apple to get his music off iTunes. What's that about?
Well, apparently his management company, 8 Miles or 8 Mile Style, has filed a lawsuit against Apple saying that they didn't secure the rights to sell his music directly with them, and therefore should remove it from iTunes and pay damages. Now, Apple, of course, does have the rights to the Universal Catalog, but I...
Well, but a catalog isn't something that Apple just walks in and picks whatever they want to sell. It's provided to them by the music company.
Right. That's right.
So, you know, what I can't understand is, why is he suing Apple instead of suing Universal for Universal giving Apple the rights to sell his music?
Well, because Universal's paying him royalties for the sales that they make off iTunes.
Okay, but not as much as he wants.
Sure. And
Apple
honest,
has no control over that anyway.
That's right.
And Eminem's not going to get any kind of publicity suing his own music label company than he would by suing Apple.
That's right.
Now, I think that's probably... What an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I blogged about
big surprise, I know.
This last week.
Yeah.
And something I didn't think about at the time was, you know, how Universal has been threatening to pull their whole catalog if they don't get a better deal from Apple.
Well, no, they're not threatening that. What they're threatening is they're not going to renew the contract with Apple, so they have the right to pull their catalog at any time. That is a distinction that should be made. They're not threatening to pull it. They're threatening not to renew their contract with Apple to sell their music.
Yeah. If whoever's in charge of Universal Studios wakes up at 9 o'clock in the morning and says, pull it, they can just go ahead and do so.
Absolutely.
After the agreement is done.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
and let's be honest, they should be able to do that. It's their music, right?
Well, as far as it depends.
If they're not under contract.
Right. But do you think that Universal could be using Eminem to kind of fire the first
No.
This?
No.
Maybe
if Eminem was still a big recording artist that got a lot of attention.
I'm sorry.
But he's been nothing the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a joke. His branded type of music is played out. Nobody listens to that crap anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. I think it's Eminem trying to put himself back in the spotlight, trying to make some money.
And get some publicity.
Exactly. So, no. And quite honestly, I don't think Universal's going to pull out, unless something catastrophic happens between Apple and Universal. I don't see Universal pulling out of the iTunes Music Store.
It would be such a colossal act of stupidity.
It's money.
Well, I think it's their way to battle against the DRM-free movement that's going on right now. I think they're pissed off at EMI and Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, now that the DRM-free music is out there, when I'm looking through the iTunes Music Store and I hear something that I kind of like, if I see it's the $1.29 track, i.e. it's
DRM-free,
I am now much more apt to buy that than if I see it's 99 cent, knowing that, no, it's DRM'd.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I can easily get around it, I don't feel like jumping through hoops to listen to the music that I already own on other devices.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those other devices would be, you know, in my case, I want to listen to it when I'm playing games on the 360 or the PS3 mm-hmm. or something. But even beyond that, if I see that it's a DRM-free tune, I am now, and I don't know, I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm more apt to buy it now. And I don't know when that paradigm shift happened, but it did. And I'm conscious of looking at the price of the songs. The album is still $9.99 for mm-hmm. the most part. There's some that's more.
Yeah. Right.
But for the most part, they're still $9.99. And I look down to the singles, and if it says $129, I'm more apt to support mm-hmm. that music label, that musician, and I'll buy it. Rather than if I see it's 99 cent, I hesitate. Do I really want this?
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, the last few things I bought have not had DRM on it because I just
don't like to buy it.
I've got a moral problem with DRM. It's putting a gun to my head after I bought something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like making us, when you buy a DVD,
mm-hmm.
it's yours, right?
Right.
Making us watch those stupid FBI warning things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or making us watch those...
This is annoying.
Those commercials. You won't steal mm-hmm. a car. You won't steal your mom's purse. Don't steal, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. don't steal this DVD.
Right.
Like, how do you know I wouldn't steal my mom's purse?
It's treating everyone like a thief is what it's doing. DRM music, as well as the anti-piracy things on the messages on mm-hmm. a DVD, is treating everyone like a thief. That's how I take it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they make it sound like it's so prevalent when really it isn't. You know, I mean, the people that are going to P2P sites and stealing music and stealing movies, there's not really, in the general scheme of things, that many people doing it. Where they're losing their money are the offshore pirates that are taking their movies and music and making thousands of copies at a time.
Yeah,
that's
where
they're really losing their money, yep. and they don't even go after them because they're afraid of them.
Yeah, because you'll get shot. You go to Thailand, and is that a bootleg?
Oh yeah, yes.
Sorry, senor, I did not hear you.
Wouldn't be
Thailand.
I was going to say they speak Spanish in Thailand.
Yeah.
They speak English with a Spanish accent in Thailand.
Sorry, I don't understand English.
Senor.
Senor, are you a record company executive?
Well, I might be. Boom.
So, last thing we want to talk about this week, well, second to the last, Apple press conference tomorrow, August 7th.
Yeah.
What are we looking at?
Oh, I know what I want.
Hey, someone's trying to call in. Want to answer it? Let's see who this is. I don't know. Let's find out. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, it's Robert Hazelry.
Hey, Robert. Hold on a second. Let's see if we can... Are you still there, guy?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Robert Hazelrig's on the line with us. As we're recording the podcast.
Oh, I expected to get your voicemail.
That's kind of like that old joke that people expect
but
to
we
get.
Wanted to hear your
We
voice.
Wanted to hear you, Robert.
Cyril, Skype manager.
I was just calling to pontificate about the upcoming Tuesday event.
Excellent.
Tomorrow.
How timely. We were just about to discuss that.
Exactly what we were just getting ready to discuss. So we'll start with you, Robert. Tomorrow, Apple's making a big announcement. They've already said it has nothing to do with iPods or iPhone. There's been these Photoshop pictures of a new Mac keyboard out there that's brushed aluminum and looks very much like a MacBook keyboard, chiclet keyboard. Mm-hmm. What do you think we're going to see tomorrow?
You know, I was thinking along the lines, you know, like I'm reading the rumors, and I was believing that it would be rumors, but none of the rumors seem to be, how did Steve put it? He said the next Macs that they were working on were over the top, I forget exactly how he explained it, but the keyboard doesn't really excite me all that much, and neither does a... neither does a aluminum iMac. Maybe it would be cool if the iMac had dual monitors.
Well, you can kind of do that now.
yeah, but it's going to cost you more.
No, I was just thinking that would be something that's completely outrageous.
Monitor on the other side, so you had one on one side, one on the other.
No, that would be bad for the porn, for
so
browsing
see
porn.
What you're working on.
Right.
Yeah, that would be cool.
What about a swivel screen? If it does anybody else remember the old Apple Portrait monitors that you could literally rotate?
Oh yeah,
90 degrees, yeah. And all of a sudden you've got a portrait rather than a landscape.
Did Radius used to make one of those too?
Yeah, they did too. But so did Apple. Apple actually made their own for a while.
Well, I didn't know.
Those were awesome monitors as far as functionality. Mm-hmm. If you're working on a long document, you just swung it and it was perfect. It was great. You think we could see something like that in an iMac?
That would be a pretty radical departure from what they have now. Though, you know, it's funny, every single time that they have done a serious update on the iMac, it's been a completely different type of design.
Yeah, every time.
It went from the G3 to the G4 to the G5, and the only time that they didn't really have a change like that was when they went from the G5 to the Intel chips.
And that was on purpose because they wanted a smooth transition, even though I've been clamoring for a while that Apple needs to upgrade. I think it's going to be a new iMac, too. And I also think we're going to see a new laptop, whether that's a refresh of the MacBook Pro. I don't think they're going to touch the MacBooks. Those are extremely popular right now.
You think you're going to see the 12-inch mini laptop?
I think you're going to see... I don't want to say I think that's what we're going to see. I will say I think we're going to see a new laptop. And I really don't know what it could be.
Well, yeah, because what's missing in the MacBook? In the MacBook,
a sub notebook. Absolutely.
Well, what about
they could do a new MacBook with a with like a graphics card? And what would the difference be?
What are you going to say, Robert?
I was going to say, what about maybe a resurgence of something like the Duo Dock? Or you have this little portable hard drive computer that you could tote around with you. You know, like if it was, you know, like we've talked about before, the infamous 12-inch episode where we were talking about, you know, a tablet Mac or a very small laptop that hooked up to a larger monitor in the Duo Dock sort of fashion, but almost like a dummy terminal.
But the thing is, they're so powerful now, computers, that they don't really need to do that. You just take it home and plug a monitor. You know what would be revolutionary is if Apple used a connector such as the safe connector, mm-hmm. the power plug on the new laptops, if they use that to plug in as easily and quickly a external monitor to their computers. Could you imagine that? Just reach behind. It's going to stay there nice and mm-hmm. secure because it's magnetized. But you just give it a little tug and the monitor's unplugged.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be awesome?
Well, don't they?
That would make it so you could take a sub notebook, put it down in front of your new monitor, and just, boop, yep. it's right in.
Yeah.
How difficult would that be?
I don't know. It sounds pretty cool. That's a cool idea.
Wasn't it the Power 500s that kind of went along that line?
The PowerBook 500s?
Yeah.
Well, no, it was a dock that you'd slide right. in. You could slide it into a dock.
Right.
But those, if you've ever used a laptop dock, and I have before, man, though, every single port has to be perfectly aligned. And you really are shoving and pulling, and those docks really never last a good long time.
Well, now, Apple mm-hmm. had...
You get one pin screwed up, and the whole dock is useless.
Apple had one that you just kind of put it into place, and it would, like, suck it in itself, didn't they?
Well, that was a dual dock. That's what Robert was talking about.
Oh, okay.
But my point is that the laptops are so powerful now, and they're so much smaller, that I don't really think that they need a docking type of station.
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, it would be cool to have, you know, not just my music, but everything with me on the go, where I want to go, and then if, like, when I get to work or to another computer, I'd just be able to dock into another system and use that processing power and still be in my own environment, you know, the way I have things set up. You know, how needed is that? I mean, I don't really need that. But, again, you know, like, I'm thinking of, you know, what would be cool. You know, I that would appeal, have some appeal to me, but whether I would buy it or not, I don't know.
Here's an idea, and I think I saw, well, it's been a long time, whether it was just an artist's concept drawing or it was one of those Apple trademark things that people dig up, but an actual docking station within an iMac and a PowerBook for your iPod. So you literally put your iPod in it, and it sits flush with your computer. It
yes.
looks like it's part of your computer.
Mm-hmm.
They could have that for an iPhone and an iPod. How cool would that be? Where your hand goes on a laptop, a little thing slides out of the way, and boom, and you just lay your iPod right there, and it connects itself automatically. Mm-hmm. How cool would that be? And that combines, that's another reason that if you like the iPod so much, gee, maybe you ought to get a Mac, because look how much cooler the experience is with the iTunes with the iPod and the iPhone and a Macintosh computer.
No separate
Look,
dock.
It's not just no separate dock. It just slides right inside your or right on top of your. How cool would that be?
It's not just for breakfast anymore.
Yeah. I think something like that would just wow people. And I don't think engineering-wise that would take a whole lot of effort on Apple's part to create something like that.
Well, you know, we've talked about kind of like this before, where one thing I would love to see on iMacs is the ability to easily swap out hard drives, something like what the old Gizmos used to be.
No, where you just lift up the keyboard and
no,
it's right there?
No, you're not talking about, I'm talking about on the Pismos, you had the two slots. You usually had the battery, and on the other side, you had your optical drive.
Oh, okay. You want to be able to swap out a hard drive that way?
Right.
But why? I mean, you've got FireWire 800, you got FireWire 400, you got USB 2.0. Hard drives are cheap. Why do you need to quickly and easily swap out an internal drive on a consumer machine when you can just simply plug in an external drive?
I've got a 250 gig internal drive on this iMac I have now. And I'm already well under 100 gigs.
But why not just buy an external drive? Why do you need to swap anything in and out of it?
I mean, I got plenty of external drives, but...
So what's your problem?
Well,
what are you bitching for?
They have a tendency to be loud, and be able... Oh, shut up. I wouldn't be
it's
able,
loud.
I don't like it. It's loud.
My ears are bleeding. Turn off them fans.
Are you the same two guys that were complaining about a little heat on their MacBook and MacBook Pros?
You know how I can... This is guy's worst night.
Here's the problem, though. I can't be sterilized through my ears.
Well, you can, but, you know.
Really.
It's really painful. And you got to use a really long needle.
Boy, this is tangent.
I have to agree with the guy. I like the internal solution much better than the external. I have, you know, the PowerMac G5, and I'm waiting, but will soon get a Mac Pro because it has the four bays.
Right,
and then
right.
I could take all those external drives and just stick them, you know, right inside the one unit. And then I only have to use one power source, which is another thing that, you know, all the cords and everything. And
that's desktop power. You know,
and then the machine gets hotter and the fans kick on and they complain about that. It's so loud now. It's like a vacuum cleaner. And all I can hear is the drives are accessing. Stop the drives from accessing. Okay, anyways.
Okay, yes. We're done.
Move on, please.
We're laughing at both you guys. I'm going to say iMac is probably 75% what we're going to see.
And what do you think we're going to see? What do you think it's going to look like?
You know, that's the thing. Unless they radically change the... It can't just... To me, if it comes out and it's just aluminum now.
Right.
That's like wah-wah.
Well, see, what I think's going to happen is, you know, we all kind of realize that Apple doesn't design anything unless Steve thinks it's
cool.
Thinks it's cool.
Right.
So, essentially, I think what's going to happen is he's going to have, like, a throwback to his childhood. We're probably going to be looking at, like, an iMac with, like, a 13-inch round black and white screen, two little diodes on the side to replace the mouse, and maybe something clunky like a typewriter beneath it.
A lot of people are saying, what about touch-sensitive screens? And Roger Bourne on our internal MyMac.com mailing list keeps saying, oh, it has to happen because that's what people want. And my point was, okay, wherever you're at in regards to your Macintosh right now, whether it's a laptop, whether it's an iMac or a MacBook Pro or whatever it is, reach up and touch your screen. Touch the top of your screen, mm-hmm. then the bottom of your screen, and then the left and then the right. And keep doing that for a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
See how long you can go. Keep reaching up at
and yes.
touching your screen.
But
it's not.
Try this.
Like a good workout, though.
Instead of having the screen up in front of you on a vertical.
I know what you're going to say.
If it's at a 30 degree angle and lower on your desk at the same plane that your keyboard is, you wouldn't get the neck strain either because you'd be looking down. So imagine the Mac screen just on the same plane as your desk, almost just elevated slightly. It wouldn't be that much of a workout.
Well, I think though the problem with that concept is it takes a lot more desk space.
Yeah.
Right now your computer is sitting vertically. Now lay it horizontal and you just lost a good 30% of your desk space.
Yeah, well,
plus if you have a regular computer desktop, computer desk, you've probably got to pull out drawer for your screen.
Yeah.
So now your hands are going to be right underneath your computer. I can't see that.
And nobody wants to touch my drawers.
Nobody wants that.
I think it's going to be a waggling LED stick like you see on those clocks, you know?
That would be cool.
If it was a widescreen, a 30-inch widescreen that on a 30-degree angle, I don't think it would be that much deeper than where your, you know, from where your keyboard is now to, like, the back of, say, a CRT.
Yeah, but most people aren't using a CRT at this point. They're using a flat panel.
I'm mm-hmm. just, you know, like, I don't think it would be beyond that. And I think most desks were engineered for that.
You know, I had to, a long time ago, I had a client, a school system, a math and science place, that had all these computer desktops, right? And it was really neat, I thought, because the top of their desks were complete glass, and the monitor was sitting at an angle
underneath
it. That's
where I was going with the two, because I remember those two.
And I tell you what, after using those for a good 20 minutes, I was starting to get kinks in my neck bending down like that, because mm-hmm. you couldn't adjust the angle. If you move yourself, you get out of, you can't see it as well.
Vocals.
It just wasn't intuitive. And then, obviously,
you get glare issues from overhead lighting. So.
Right. I'm not saying your idea is without merit, Robert. I just...
You don't see it working.
Practically, no. I don't see it working. But if anybody could make it work and make it correct, it would be Apple.
Yeah.
Apple would be the only one that could come out with something like that. It's not like a 30-pound table that you touch
that
costs $20,000.
There is a Wacom monitor that does exactly what I'm talking about, although it's not a touch screen. It is, you know, it's for drawing on.
It's a tablet.
It's not nearly as large, but it does function at that angle, and it is pretty cool. It's also very expensive.
Mm. The other thing about personal computers, though, now is that it's not just a solitary thing. How often are you having someone come over to watch this funny YouTube video? You know, you're interacting with not just you, but other people on your computer all the time. And I think at that kind of an angle, are y'all going to huddle around looking down?
No, because you'll have an Apple TV to beam it to your TV to show.
There, yeah, that's true.
I think it's going to be an iMac lava lamp.
There you go.
Okay, let's throw this one out then. What if they remove the keyboard and just put in like a touch panel keyboard?
No, I think people want a tactile sensation.
See, I feel the same way, but I'm throwing it out there.
No, I would think...
They like the touch.
I think Apple's been listening to how many people are disliking the keyboard on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Have you bought one yet, Robert?
Yeah, I hear you.
Have you bought an iPhone yet?
No, I haven't. Actually, I have a bet with a friend of mine.
Yeah, I know.
As to who can hold out the longest and not buy it, so...
I think there was a whole movie about that once, wasn't there?
No, that was a Seinfeld episode.
That was a Seinfeld episode, right.
Was it?
Yeah, George lost.
No, George won.
Kramer lost. He immediately came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
anyways, we're going to have the Robert iPhone watch. It's going to be a continuing saga. Has Robert bought an iPhone yet? Dun, dun, dun. I don't know what it's like to type on the Apple iPhone yet, but I seriously like a tactile sensation. I'm pretty fast at typing. And if anybody that's listening right now is anywhere close to your computer keyboard, if you look at your keyboard, I don't care if it's a PC or a Mac, almost all keyboards have a little tiny nub on both the J and the F buttons. And there's a reason for that. That's so you don't have to look to know where your fingers are.
Yeah, those are your
home
keys.
If you feel that nub...
Yeah.
Oh.
You're good.
Oh, boy.
How do you do that with a non-tactile... I mean, I've seen the hologram keyboards that project the image on your desk, and then you just type on... I don't think those are going to work. And
yeah,
ergonomically, a flat surface is the worst thing you could use to type on.
But you
need it at an angle.
You could put, like, a little dimple or a nipple in the glass on the monitor screen that, you know, you could adjust the placement of the keyboards over top of. So let's say... If it was, you know, a 32nd of an inch off the glass and a 32nd of an inch round,
a fat finger.
Then and located where those J and K buttons or whatever the buttons actually are, you would get that tactile sensation, so you could navigate without actually looking at the screen.
So, like, what's the chances that Apple's going to come out with the type of technology you're talking about, a $1,000 keyboard? I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either.
No, I think that's a 0% of happening.
It could be done. It's just not. It's not costly.
It could be, but ergonomically, if you spend a lot of time typing, it would just not work.
That would work great for a tablet PC, though.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think. I don't think people really want a tablet PC.
They haven't.
I don't think, frankly, I don't think they've had any success with it.
No, nobody's had success selling
it's
them.
It's been a really, I mean, they talk about Apple being a small market. I mean, that's a small of a small market.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't see anybody clamoring for a tablet Mac. People's talked about it for years. And then there was that company last year that Guy did the interview with at Macworld Expo.
That does the conversions. Yeah, they work it through OWC, don't they?
Yeah. And... those still aren't shipping, as far as I know. But even if they were, I don't know why I would want one. Number one, I want to protect my screen. I don't want it open to the world all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's just not looking straight down or holding it up isn't intuitive.
Works well in hospitals and it works well in some retail.
Not that size, though.
No.
If you see the ones that they use in hospitals, it's little handheld things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like 6 inches tops, maybe 8. But that's the most. Not a 15-inch laptop. It's way too heavy. It's way too bulky. I just don't see a market for that. So, moving on, I think we probably all agree we're going to see a new iMac. We're just, we don't know what that's going to be yet, right?
Right.
What about the MacBook Pros? Do you think we're going to see something new in the MacBook Pros, at least aesthetically, because they look exactly the same way as a PowerBook G4 from 2001? Yeah, exactly.
It's a space.
They haven't changed. It's over 5 years, 6 years old.
All right, I'll say that probably the MacBook Pros will at least get the chiclet keyboard.
I'd probably agree.
But would that really be, as far as the way it looks, would that be a real step forward?
Has anyone given any
kind of feedback on how well the chiclet keyboard works as compared?
Ask Chad. He's got one in front of him.
Oh, love it.
He loves it.
Prefer it over a
My wife actually prefers it over her old G3 laptop. She likes using it, but she said, "I like using your keyboard better." Tim even prefers it over his. So.
I do. I like the feel of it. I didn't think I would. And just looking at it, I'm like, I don't know. But then when you start using it, it seems very intuitive. Mm-hmm. It's very comfortable. I still prefer a real clackety keyboard for a desktop. But for a laptop, I really like it. Mm-hmm. This is something else that we also mentioned on the... And this is something that I think we really could see. Taking the concept of the pinch, not on the screen itself, but on the trackpad.
Oh. Yeah.
That you could actually pinch a graphic on your trackpad.
Have it move up and out.
Exactly. What about a Macintosh?
Or just even to magnify an image on the web or whatever.
Or whatever it could be, but it uses the same type of touch sensitivity on the trackpad that you would use on the iPhone.
But wouldn't that take some additional APIs from various software companies to make that work?
Not necessarily. Not if you just simply replicated it. Well, maybe. I don't know. But I think if Apple came out with a trackpad, not just on the laptops, but the new iMac comes with a keyboard with a trackpad with the touch sensitivity, I think that might be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That could be something that would definitely be revolutionary as far as interactivity on your computer.
But it's not like...
Because now you have this little 6-inch spot on your keyboard where you're doing 2-finger scrolling, you're pinching to bring in or out an image, you flip your thumb across it to go from left to right or to switch pages. I mean, literally.
Adding a lot more functionality just to the trackpad.
Exactly. And you're taking your hand off the keyboard even less to reach for the mouse.
It'd be cool if they could incorporate the iPhone to do that. So all you had to do is plug in your iPhone and it would function that way.
You have a separate.
That would be cool.
Separate trackpad. Excuse me, iPhone.
So now you have a $600 mouse. That would be cool. Yeah,
I'd buy one. What phone? No,
the hockey
need
puck
it for
mouse
a phone.
Was
I
ridiculous.
Just need it for a trackpad.
And it's all speculation. This time tomorrow, we'll all know.
Yeah.
And I look forward to whatever it is.
What about software? You guys think that there'll be any software updates?
Maybe.
Well, I mean, unless they could do a formal release of Leopard, but early. But I don't think so.
Well, I'm along the lines of iLife.
Well, how far are we out from
WWDC?
No, from when Leopard is supposed to ship.
What's that? That's like 2 months.
October, right?
Yeah.
We're only 2 months away.
Yeah.
Could Apple have ramped up quicker and said?
Now the iPhone's
tomorrow
been released.
Says, yeah, by the way, Leopard's done. It's shipping tomorrow.
That could be, but if that's the only announcement, I think people would be kind of like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, if they're going to release Leopard, I think they would also release the latest, the next version of iLife and iPhone.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Sure.
And each one of you answer separately. We'll start with Robert. But this question is for all you guys. Are you unhappy with Tiger?
Not at all.
My headphones.
No, not at all.
No, you can listen. Chad's taking off is like it's a game show.
Yeah.
Dude, don't listen, Chad. So, Robert, you're not unhappy with Tiger?
No, I use it every day. I got it on 3 machines. I never go down. What's not like?
You never go down?
No.
Don't start.
No.
Never mind.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Oh, you.
He just chose to ignore it. Very wise, Robert. Very wise.
Very wise.
Unfortunately, nobody else seems to be able to on this show.
Guy, are you unhappy with Tiger?
I am. I'm delighted with Tiger. I haven't had. I mean, and I've blogged about this before. That when I first started using OS X, it was 10.2, and I got lots of gray screens of death. And then 10.3 came out, and I had even less. And I haven't had a single one with 10.4. And every single time I've updated, my machine has been faster.
Chad?
My life would be so much easier if I had it on my PC at work.
Yeah, I tell you. And I have to say the same thing. I'm not unhappy with 10.4. But does 10.5 have the features, at least that's been advertised, and providing they work the way that they're advertised is working, and it's as stable as 10.4 is, as Tiger, is Leopard offering us anything that we're like, I have to have that?
Are you guys there?
No, it's silence.
I think the stuff that they're putting in the background, I mean, the stuff that they talk about with Time Machine and Spaces and, you know, and the new dock, the disappearing menu bar, you know, that's all eye candy that really isn't going to affect my life that much. But things like core animation and, you know, some of the stuff that takes place in the background, I think is going to make a huge difference.
Probably long term more than short term.
Right.
Is anybody else bothered by this, the 3D dock? I don't like this 3D dock.
No, that doesn't.
It shouldn't be in 3D.
That doesn't.
It really shouldn't.
I have a feeling that you'll be able to change it one way or another in your system preferences.
I hope so, because it looks butt ugly. Some icons awkward. Just don't look right in that layout. Do we really need spaces? I could see spaces really helping me out in some situation.
I wouldn't mind spaces. I could see some uses for it, particularly if you were like doing actual work at a client site.
Right.
You know, and you had certain apps that you'd like to have available, but you don't like to have your
screen cluttered.
Yeah.
Right.
And you want to switch between them quickly.
Are you guys there? I have the virtual desktop space by U Software that is very similar to the spaces.
And, right, gives you virtual desktops.
Yeah, and I've used it, you know, on and off, but I found that now I'm just not using it at all.
Yeah, but is that because it's a third-party app and it's not as intuitive as it could be, and if it was actually built into the Mac OS,
no, I think
you would use it?
But, well, the reason that I stopped using it is because I kept inadvertently switching to a space that I didn't want to be in.
Oh.
So when I mount...
Yeah, but is that, though, more of a product of you're just not used to it and you didn't really give it the time to learn?
No,
or is it just kinda...
I don't think so, because I did have it on several Macs, and I used it for an extended period of time. I want to say at least 2-3 months. And I did find that I liked it when I was running on my my laptop, back on my iBook. But we had multiple...
So a smaller screen, it's more useful?
Yeah, when I had multiple monitors, it was just silly.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. When you've got... Like, I've got multiple monitors on my home computer, and I don't see a point there. But on my laptop, that might actually make some more sense. I've got less screen real estate, and then I get really bogged down in the clutter. Let me ask you a simple question. How do you switch between active applications?
Apple Tab.
Is that what you use? Do you actually use Apple Tab?
Oh, yeah.
That's all I use to switch. I never go to the dock to switch applications.
But it's the same thing in Windows, because I use the control tab in Windows to do the same thing. I'm just used to it.
Robert, Guy, do you guys Apple Tab to move between open applications?
I would say about 40, maybe 50% of the time I Apple Tab. The rest of the time I just I click through the open windows that I have, because I usually have like 3 or 4 applications open at a time. And because I have 3 monitors, I really don't have to switch. I just have to mouse over to the window that's to the left or to the right.
Yeah.
But the problem with that, though, is let's say you've got 3 different web browsers open, not tabs, but actually windows. And you're in, I don't know, Photoshop. And you click over to that Safari window that you see open. That Safari window comes forward, but the other two don't.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I just clicked this window that's open in Safari. Every Safari at that point should pop forward.
Right.
Including the other windows. It doesn't do that. if I close that window, the next available Safari window will pop up ahead of Photoshop or whatever. But it, I think that's one of the biggest problems with the Mac OS right now. That is broken.
That's why.
And if nobody knows what I'm talking about, open up four or five windows on your screen, bring one to the front in a different application. Okay, make it a pretty big window. Click one of the windows behind it. That only that window will obscure what your current application is. None of the other open windows in the other application will be to the front. But if you close it, it will. That drives me batty. I'm like, ugh. But if you Apple Tab to literally switch between the applications that way, then they will all come forward.
Right.
Which is, how stupid is that? That's broken in the Mac OS Tiger. I'm sorry, it really is. I don't remember if it was like that in 10.2, 10.3. It wasn't like that under the classic Mac, though, because you could also tab, Apple Tab it on the Mac OS 9 as well. I think it started around Mac OS 9.1, I think. It's been so long. Mm. But you could Apple Tab between applications then, too. And it worked correctly then. Bringing a window forward brings all the application windows forward, not just the one window. And as much as I do like Tiger, Spotlight is broken. Spotlight, the promise of Spotlight was you go up there and you start typing and you immediately start getting results, right?
Right.
That's not the way it is. You go up there and start typing and the Mac sits there and thinks about it. It will show you a few, and then it'll show you a few more, and then it'll show you a few more. I'm sorry, if I've got this supercomputer sitting on my desk, why is it taking so long to find every reference to Godzilla on my computer? That shouldn't take a minute to find.
Is it any better under Vista?
No, but I'm not comparing this to other. In fact, it's probably worse under Vista. I just don't have very many documents under Vista right now that I could accurately do a comparison testing on the same machine. And I don't really care what it does on Vista. I'm a Mac user. I care how it operates under the Mac. And since Tiger came out, if anything, Spotlight has got slower and slower and slower and less responsive. It still gives me good results, but I'm sitting waiting around for it to show me the results. Mm-hmm. I could do a faster search under Mac OS 9 than I can under OS 10 now. It's ridiculous. I can get faster results using Google on the internet than finding one file on my desktop under Spotlight. Spotlight is slow and buggy. And I don't remember what the key combination is to hit to bring up the Spotlight search, but how many times have you been doing something and you're typing and you look up and for whatever reason Spotlight's up and you've been typing in the search field and you're like, oh crap, and then escape to get out of Spotlight and you're like, ugh. Spotlight is broken and it needs major, major tweaking and fixing. It does. Anybody else disagree or agree with me?
It does need help. It does need
help. Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda.
I don't use the Spotlight function that at all. I can tell you, I just never.
I drop down into Unix and do my searches there.
That's why I didn't complain about it, because I just never use it.
Right, and I'm with Robert on this one. I frankly don't use it that often. And the only times that I wish I'd use it is usually when I have to search for something on the network at work, and I don't have it because it's a PC-based system. Right. So,
oh, you don't want to use Spotlight to look over a network. Oh, yeah. My God. If you think it's slow on your current Mac, forget about it. But then again, it didn't index everything. But see, this is my problem. Spotlight should be indexing everything that I'm doing, correct? Every document, when I'm not doing anything, shouldn't Spotlight be indexing it all so it knows what's there? And if it's indexing everything, it's just a simple file that it's accessing. It's not looking on every single file on your computer. It's looking in its index. At least that was the whole point.
Promise.
That was my understanding of why all these files have the metadata, and that's what Spotlight's looking for. If that's the case, and I've got a 2 gigahertz dual processor with 4 gigs of RAM, why is it taking 30 seconds for me to look up one document or one mail message? Why does it take so long? It's retarded. It's busted. And I don't mean to harp on the, you know, oh, this is the worst thing ever. But the promise of Spotlight, when Tiger came out, was instantaneous and accurate searches. It's not looking just for file names anymore. It's looking at the data inside the document. That's what it made it what it is. But does it have to show me the results of every cache file that's on my web browser, too? I mean, half of the results it's giving me, it's almost giving me too much information. You know, well, 2,000 documents matched this term. And half of them is preference files and what?
Is there any way to filter it?
Not that I found, not to... But then you bring up Spotlight and, you know, you can refine your search, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of Spotlight is it's right up there in the right-hand corner of your desktop. Right. You just click it and start typing. It doesn't work. It's busted. So maybe when we did that interview with Google about their whole... Yeah, about their new application, maybe I should really download that and give it a look.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a better search tool for the Mac than Spotlight is. I'm hoping that they really do some major tweaks in the next version of the Mac OS in Spotlight, because it simply doesn't work right, and it's not useful on an everyday basis. It's just not. Of course, if you guys disagree with me, the listeners out there, send us some feedback. You can send it to tim@mymac.com if you want to bitch right at me directly.
Or you can call us on the Skype account at 1-801-938-5559 and leave us a message.
I'm looking up on our website, and for whatever reason, the phone number is completely goofy up there. I don't know how that happened, but I'm going to have to fix that, I think. I think that's going to be it for the show this week. I do not believe we've got a fenestration coming this week.
Nope.
David's going on vacation. Programming update. We're going to have a couple more shows of the MyMac.com podcast, and then we're going to go on hiatus for about a month or so. Anybody that has subscribed to this podcast, you will get another show for a month. The name of the show is Podcast... What is it?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Podcastgameshow.com.
Oh, is it? You got it, huh?
That's going to be the name of the show. It's not going to be some funky dung bowler. It's going to be Podcast Game Show.
Sweet.
That's the name of the show. That's going to be the URL. If you go there right now, it's just going to simply forward you to mymac.com,
because
I own it. We are talking to, and when I say we, I pretty much mean me, and John Nemirovsky. He's been helping with this. We are approaching some vendors about lining up some prizes. In the upcoming weeks here on the MyMac podcast, we're going to give the listeners of this podcast an early chance to play the show before the rest of the world finds out about it and, you know, start signing up.
Popular.
And it's so popular that you guys won't have a chance to play. So if you're listening to this show, you're going to be pretty familiar with the people on the other show because it's us.
Yeah.
It's not going to have anything to do with Macintosh computers. Let me warn you guys right now, it's not a Mac podcast. And I will also say there is nothing else like this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have very cool prizes. We've already got a couple companies, and I'm not going to say who yet, lined up that's going to give stuff away. We're going to give this 4 weeks of work once we go live with it. And for those 4 weeks, the MyMac podcast will go dark, and Podcast Game Show will go live. And then we'll go back to either doing this show, both shows, or I don't know.
We don't know.
But things are going to change. I had a good time this week.
Yeah, though. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. And I thanks for dialing in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not expecting to get on the show, Robert.
the best part of that was right when he called.
The timing was perfect.
Yeah, you were just getting to talk about the
what's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah. I got to run, guys.
Thanks, Robert.
Right, see you,
thanks,
Robert.
Take care.
You too. So that's what's coming up in the next couple weeks. We're going to have the regular MyMac podcast.
Mm-hmm.
On the next show, we'll talk about whatever it is that Apple released tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. I know
I
you guys
too.
Are too. But I'm really looking forward to the podcast game show. I think it's going to be really fun. It's going to be very lighthearted. We're going to have really cool prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can play initially within the continental United States.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be neat. It's something different, and Chad and I really do need
a break,
a change of, not necessarily break. We just need to mix it
change
up a little
venue.
Bit.
Change of venue. Yeah.
Change of venue. And this is usually if I come up with an idea that's really unique, something no one's ever done, I don't do anything with it, and then somebody else comes along and it gets extremely popular.
And
all you have to do is go back a few months ago, and I played that early MP3 file mm-hmm. on the show at the end of one of our shows that came from, what, 1998?
Yeah, where you were just
meandering
about, well, what I'd really like to have is something that'd be like a radio show
that people could subscribe to. And I was talking about podcasting long before anybody else. And I never ran with it. We could have been literally the first podcast, but I didn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So this time around, no one's doing it the game show.
You
we're just going to do it.
Yeah.
I could have been the podfather. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully a lot of the people that's listening out there will join us in the fun. So, I don't know, for whatever reason, most people are not sending any feedback to the show lately. I'm looking at the stats. People are still downloading the show. Hopefully they're still listening to the show.
Yeah.
And we'd love to hear from you, what your thoughts are. Let us know what you think about the announcements tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. Chad's already given the phone number, and if you don't remember, go up to mymac.com. You'll find it. Send us email to Tim at mymac, and we'll see you guys next week. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Thanks for downloading the mymac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at mymac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to mymacpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the mymac.com podcast.